Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here in OMF. Fitzy in today for Lou Maloney. Lou's got the day off. He's worked like double shifts.
That's his birthday too, though.
Was his birthday 2 days ago.
I mean, it's like a whole week thing. He's 50.
Oh, that's right.
So yeah, for 50, you actually celebrate the whole year.
If you go to Lou's Instagram now,
yes.
He's living like Paul Pierce large.
Paul Pierce party is what he's having right now.
He's got all the girls in Marshfield twerking right now. Oh, he's living out loud. He's showing out.
That might not work out well.
On some drugs.
It's time for our continued coverage of the NFL draft, which we really care about this year. It's all presented by Zuti. Build any application your company needs in just 1 week. Get your free trial today. Visit Zuti.com for details. Today's guest is Dane Brugler of The Athletic. Dane has put together, he's ranked 636 prospects.
God.
He's got 415 scouting reports. The Beast is out, and he joins us right now on the Harbor One Hotline. Do you ever have any free time to, do some fun things, Dane?
No, but I will say the only thing I think that's longer than The Beast is the honey-do list waiting for me as I return to civilization for my wife. So, it's a labor of love. You know, I treat it just like, you know, as if I was the 33rd team and working year-round, studying these guys. A lot of analysis, a lot of background work, all the pro day testing information is in there. I think that's especially important this year without the combine. Make sure to have all the NFL verified pro day data. That's all in the guide. So hopefully people check it out. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
It's like an NFL version of the Farmer's Almanac. I mean,
they guess too, right?
It's amazing. Yeah, because just before we're going to get into a bunch of stuff, but how do you go about this? There's 636 prospects that you ranked. Are you looking at just college film? You talk about backgrounds. Are you calling their high school coaches? Like, how far back? Take us through the process of how you just, you know, scout one player.
Yeah, I've got a great setup here. So I've got it all on my computer, all the tapes for every game the past 2 years. So I'm able to, you know, kind of pick and choose which tapes I'm watching. You try to get the different points of the season, you try to get the best opponents, and you know, obviously you can't watch 20 games of each player, just not enough time. So you know, you're watching 5-6 tapes and try to get a best idea of who the player is, and then yeah, a lot of the work is background related. I'm relying on a lot of scouts to, you know, I'm trading information with those guys, you know, talking to coaches, so in some cases going back to high school and figuring out, okay, well, this guy played basketball up until his junior year. Well, what was he like as a senior and he started playing football? How green was he? You know, how attentive to learning the game was he? And just all these different things. And that's really my favorite part of this whole process is learning the journey. And there's no two journeys the same when you started you're playing football up until now. You're at the doorstep of the NFL. It's also fascinating. I think it helps tell not only where they've been, but where they're headed just by looking at that background. So that's a big part of it.
All right, so let's use your research right now. We spent the last hour coming to the conclusion that Bill Belichick is not going to move up in the draft. It just doesn't present value for him to get that quarterback. But we do believe there's a good chance he is going to select a quarterback somewhere in this draft after that first round. So give us a rundown of who you would project would be the best candidates at quarterback for New England outside of that first round?
Realistic candidates.
Realistic.
Yeah,
I think realistically, obviously, none of the top five, they're off the board. After you get past those top five quarterbacks, the quarterback to me that has easily the most upside, and you can see him carving out a starting career in the NFL, that's Davis Mills at Stanford. The two biggest questions with him, he has 11 starts on his resume, and he's got a knee that has bothered him since high school, and the medicals are going to be huge on that. If you talk to your trainers and they say it's going to be an issue, you don't draft him. He's off your board. If the trainer says he should be fine and could he re-injure it? Yes, but it's not a lingering issue that I'm necessarily worried about. Then you start thinking about Davis Mills in the second round. Former five-star guy, built exactly how you want, 6'4", 220 pounds, good athlete, can move around. He's a very loose passer, might be the best middle-of-the-field passer in this draft, and I think that really fits well with what the Patriots would be looking to do with their tight ends and with the way they like to attack the middle of the field in that offense. So I think Davis Mills, as long as the medicals check out, second round, the Patriots would be a logical landing spot.
So, Dane, let's say this shell game that's going on right now between Kyle Shanahan and the Niners, Belichick and the mm-hmm. Patriots, you know, it's going to be Mac Jones at three, but Kyle Shanahan is going to the pro day, the second pro day for Fields. Maybe he could sneak there at number three. Let's say Mac Jones, who so many have said could be a perfect Patriot, does shake loose. What do you see in his game that would get Patriots fans excited about something that I think a lot of fans think is kind of a vanilla prospect?
Well, if you're going to list the most important qualities at the quarterback position, what are top two? It's accuracy and decision-making. Yep. And you can make the argument that Mac Jones is better in those two areas than any other quarterback in this class. You can make that argument. Now, you just have to decide, okay, is the rest good enough? The arm strength, the mobility, is that good enough to survive in this league and be a guy that's going to help you compete for division championships and in the playoffs? And that's where I think the answer to that question is different depending on who you talk to. There are several in the league that believe absolutely he can be that guy. Other teams aren't as convinced. They don't think that he necessarily has the arm strength they're looking for or the mobility. I think he's functional in those two areas. And so that's where there's just differing opinions on the player. But, you know, there's a lot to like about him. His competitive nature, he doesn't make a ton of mistakes. Now, it's tough when you watch his film. It's hard to separate him from that situation. You look at the offensive line, the running game, the wide receivers, the play calling. It was all elite around him. So, and you could say the same thing about Joe Burrow 2 years ago at LSU, but the big difference there, Joe Burrow was a much better athlete with the way his functional mobility, the way he could extend plays, just the way he moved around. It was next level stuff. Mac Jones isn't quite on that level, and I think that's the big difference between a Joe Burrow and a Mac Jones.
So let me ask you this then, because as you're scouting all these players, I'm sure like you have a subconsciously, like as you're watching it, like, okay, this is a Pete Carroll guy. This mm-hmm. is a Mike Tomlin guy. Oh, Bill Belichick loves these type of guys. Is there a guy in there that you've kind of, you know, personally watched that said, wow, this is the guy Bill would take?
There is. Linebacker from Tulsa, Zaven Collins. I think that there's a lot of parallels there you can make between him and like a Dante Hightower or some of the guys that, you know, Bill Belichick has liked in the past. He's 6'5", 260. I mean, he's bigger than some of the pass rushers in this class. He is a big kid, former high school valedictorian, former high school quarterback, and he moves to linebacker at Tulsa, and he's been super productive, not only just, you know, racking up the tackles, but, you know, he led the team in tackles for loss, sacks, interceptions. He had two pick sixes last year. He, at 260 pounds, he ran a 4.65 in the 40. Terrific jump. So the athleticism.
What's this three cone off. Drill? What's this three cone drill? That's really the only drill we care about.
Unfortunately, that's the one drill he chose not to do.
Oh, that's why. Yeah, he's hiding something. See? He's hiding something.
He knew.
Yeah, exactly. It's always curious when they decide not to do that one drill. You don't have to wonder why. I think you know. But listen, there's a lot. When you talk about the versatility, the height, weight, speed, the production that he had, I think that, you know, Bill Belichick has a chance to get a defensive playmaker in this draft in the first round. And if that's the direction he ends up going, I think Zaven Collins is going to be pretty high on their board.
We're talking to Dane Brugler of The Athletic, talking about the NFL draft. I'm sure you heard about the Dan Orlovsky's criticism of Justin Fields and his work ethic. He got roasted for actually saying that. One, have you heard anything similar to that? But more importantly than that, you put together a draft guide like a lot of other guys do. And over the years, I've seen many criticisms of players questioning their work ethic. Is this suddenly out now in the business of ranking and analyzing draft picks?
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. You have to kind of, it's tough from my standpoint because I hear a lot of things. You know, there's this guy doesn't love football, or this guy, you know, you hear these things and you have to, because I've never met some of these players, and that's one of the disadvantages of not having a combine this year. I can get on the phone with them, but having never met him and understanding what they're about, and I'm not in the business of trying to hurt these players, and before they've even taken a snap in the NFL. So some of the character stuff, it's hard to know what should be considered fair game and what's not. It's something that I've really battled with myself. Just when you hear that a player, you hear it from a scout, and you hear it from multiple sources that the player just doesn't love football. Is that fair game to include in a report? I struggle with that. I really do. Whether it's a quarterback or a linebacker or an offensive tackle, it's something that you have to really, decide, okay, is it relevant to their report? Is it something that 5 years from now you're going to look back and say, okay, well, it was important I had that in there because it helped tell us how the next 5 years played out. So there are a few players in here where, a player like Kadarius Toney, like there's some scouts that are worried that he might like rapping more than football. Like that's something that, several teams have, scouts have voiced that opinion.
Like Christian,
Everyone needs hobbies. So, and some teams might have a problem with that. So it's a slippery slope. It's something that I know I struggle with for those of us on the outside who don't get a chance to really know these guys intimately.
Dane, last one for me. I know that there's a hierarchy. There's like a top three of wide receivers, and as much as people would love to see the Pats add to the speed, or at least the wide receiver depth that they just bought during their uncharacteristically aggressive free agency period, I don't think they're going to trade up for one of those guys. However, once you get into late first round, second, third, fourth, there are a bunch of burners. There are a bunch of really good, smaller, fast guys who could be value assets from day one to the Patriots. Who's maybe one or two you could see the Patriots sniffing around maybe somewhere in day two or early day three?
Yeah, my favorite in that range, probably maybe a late second rounder, De'Ami Brown from North Carolina.
Yes.
He's 6'5", 190 pounds. He can fly, and he's the best double move receiver in this draft. He's very skilled at using that little hesitation, just settling his feet, that little bit of body language. He's so natural at it, and he can track the ball downfield, win over the top, stack corners, and win on those vertical routes. So De'Ami Brown is a player that I definitely have my eye on. If they're looking for more of the speed guy who's going to be more of an underneath threat, the slot player, Rondale Moore is often appealing. He's small. He's 5'7", 180 pounds, but just get him the ball in space and let him create. He's short, but he's not small because he is stoutly put together. He's just a smaller target who runs a 4.3 and can absolutely fly. So you have all these packages put together for him just to design, get the ball in his hands, and let him make something happen.
So if you're looking for some good weekend reading and you want to go through 415 scouting reports and 636 prospects, check out Dane's The Beast. It's out. Dane, thank you very much. We really appreciate it, man.
All right, anytime. Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Thank you, Dane.
Dane Brugler from The Athletic. We'll continue our series each and every week leading up to the NFL draft. What are you nodding about?
I'm so happy because last week for WEI.com, I put together a piece, 5 under-the-radar wide receivers. I could see the Patriots moving up or maneuvering to draft. And at the top of the list was the guy the last 2 years who has averaged 20 yards a catch and had 20 touchdown catches, De'Ami Brown. And that's who he listed off. I'm so That kid is a hidden gem. That kid can be an absolute stud.
Well, hang
in
there.
Not on anyone's radar.
Hang in there, because in a little while we're going to play some of the great analysts, draft analysts over the years, and how wrong they've been about some of the picks and some of the guys that they.
It's a flashback Friday.
We're going to do it.
Hashtag FBF.
Just a little bit, but coming up next, have we seen the last of Julian Edelman in a Patriots uniform? Oh, say it's not so. It's coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Keep up with Glenn on Twitter at Glenn D. Ordway.
That guy on the radio is crazy. He's out of his freaking mind.
We return to OMF on WEEI.
Another player we have been kind of, say, wondering about is Julian Edelman, the veteran receiver, obviously a longtime face of the franchise in New England, still trying to work his way back from a knee injury that drastically shortened his 2020 season. My understanding is he does want to play in 2021. That's not the important thing. The important thing is his knee going to be healthy enough to play? He is still rehabbing. He is still recovering. Still trying to see if he is healthy enough to be out there for the 2021 season. No decision made yet on which way that is going to go.
All right, that was Ian Rappaport talking about Julian Edelman. And then we read today from Karen Garigian of the Boston Herald. And I would put some credence in this. Mm-hmm. According to a source familiar with Edelman's situation, it's doubtful he will be able to play the entire 2021 season. The knee has already hampered him for the better part of 2 years. While surgery can provide temporary relief, nothing can solve the underlying problem, the source said.
That doesn't Karen, mean, hello.
That doesn't mean, that doesn't mean.
How did you get here?
That Edelman won't try to suit up. But if you're the Patriots, how do you keep a soon-to-be 35-year-old receiver with a bad knee that will eventually sideline him again? And I think there's something to that, guys. You can't go into the season already knowing that you don't know how many games he's going to play. So you're giving up a roster spot for Julian Edelman. Would you like to have Julian Edelman back even at his age if he were healthy? Yes. But if it's bone on bone, I'm not sure you can actually do that. And I thought this was interesting that Karen was this one with the story. I'm wondering, Christian, if they're trying to work something out. Let him leave on his terms. Don't cut him.
Well, that doesn't. There you go. You're onto something there, Glennie. So, you know, work something out. There's been other players that have kind of, I guess, just they slow down. You
Troy
know,
Brown.
They're oh, Kevin Falk, guys that are just you know, foundational guys. Guys that you drafted, guys that are just red jacket guys. Let's call them red jacket guys.
Okay. It's a great name, the red jacket boys.
And I think that he's one of them. And so they take care of those guys a little bit differently than they would, especially a guy like Edelman who's will literally do anything you want him to do. He's team patriot for life. I could see them saying, listen, hang around. We're going to pay you just in case of emergency. Don't worry about playing. Actually, don't even worry about being an impact player whatsoever. We just need you around. New group of receivers coming in. You can help with these receivers, but we don't really plan on playing you. But we love you too much, and you're not going to get a job anywhere else. You're just going to have to retire.
Right.
Because I mean, would Tom Brady put a good word in for him in Tampa? Of course he would. But he's not going to play there either.
No.
Best bet for him is just to kind of take his chances with the Patriots, let them take care of him like they did Troy Brown, like they did Kevin Falk, and then just be done. Sell T-shirts at pop-up stores or wherever it is that you want to do.
Sell the jeans, and come on and talk to Greg Hill about getting him a fresh pair of Joe by Julian Edelman jeans. Exactly. Make the appearances.
Because that's an easy business to get into, jean business.
Of course it is.
Yeah, that and vodka and tequila. Let's do that.
Sure. Are you just basically saying what you want him to put together a Stitch Fix box for you, Christian, full of everything that you need?
A monthly subscription.
This is movie time.
I know. I'm dying to see the next Burger Time or one of those like hashtag influencer Nerf gun ads that Edelman does. Look, it would be awesome to see Edelman be able to come back out and do a victory lap season where he has a couple more of those Seattle games in him. Fact is, he has been a human operation board for the past 2 years whenever he's been out there. In 2019, everything hurt. He was broken up top, in the middle, on the bottom, and all around. And last year, he gave it his all. It's almost like he should have caught that game-winning touchdown against the Seahawks and then just retired after that game, going out on top, because it's the law of diminishing averages at this point. He's taken too many hard hits. Those knees are all banged up. His shoulders hurt. Everything hurts on the guy. He's not going anywhere. He has said a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months back, he tweeted out something about wanting to always be like to Pats Nation. There was something cool and appealing to him about staying with the same team, being a Pats lifer like Brewski, you know, like a Troy Brown, going box to wire, cradle to grave as a Patriot. That means something to him. So I could totally see him sticking around, being like a player coach who might be active for 8 or 10 games this year, and then he wraps it up, and then we go on a Thursday night in a couple of years, like you said, and he gets his red jacket, and you know we watch that highlight film over and over.
And he retires, and he actually gets a press conference, you know, just like unlike all those Gronk. Other guys. Yeah, unlike Gronk. And there is, I know this for a fact that you know, Bill puts a lot of weight in metrics and age and, you know, timing and test day. Like your test day, your weight day, when you're doing your weightlifting test, your 225 max or 275 max rep test, or your 40 time, your cone drill, like he puts a lot of importance in that. Like that means something to him, especially when you get older. So the key was always to make sure that you completely screwed up your first test. So that way, one, you showed improvement, and two, you always kind of match what you did the year before. Guys would freak out about this test. I think that's also part of it with him. Like, he's just doing what happens when you get old, minus the injuries. Like, he's not a quarterback, so he can't hide it, you know? So he's not an offensive lineman, so he can't just stand there and just be a big blob. So I think he's done.
You're too old!
I think he's done, and I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. I mean, like, if he comes back, great. Prove us wrong. I mean,
he may not even be able to pass the physical when he gets into camp. Who knows whether he's even going to be able to get out on the field.
Would he play? Would he, like, based on the guys that you have right now, I mean, this is like a DJ Bean kind of way of going about it. Does he even make the team?
But is who's?
I mean, I'm not kidding. You look at all the guys they have now.
Well, who's him now, though?
Who is, Glenn, let's say Julian comes in right now. He makes it onto the pup, right? And they don't know what to do. And so He can't play, but he wants to. Who's Edelman on this team? Jacoby Myers played in the slot a lot last year. Is he the slot heir apparent? Is Kendrick Bourne that guy? Or are they going to draft him? Is it going to be one of these speedy guys like a Tutu Atwell or a Dwayne Eskridge?
Yeah, I would think Bourne would be the guy. But I think Christian's right, though. I think this is one of those they're going to be delicate in the way they handle it. On the other hand, I think they would like to get that $3.5 million in which they could kind of maneuver it back, especially if they have to out and pay somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo or something like that.
No, I know we're going to break real quick, but you remember even with Teddy, like they came to Teddy. You talk about being delicate.
Yeah.
They came to Teddy. Teddy talked about it on this show about how they came to him and said, well, you know, we really don't feel like you can play anymore. So what do you want to do? It was that easy. Yeah. He still had a year left.
Yeah. All right. Your guy, Marcus Smart, you told me that he couldn't make a clutch shot in the fourth quarter. I saw him the other night. He had 12 in the fourth quarter. I don't know what the hell you're talking about with him. And how about Perk taking shots at Jason Tatum? We're going to get into all of that into the Celtics coming up next right here on OMF.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know what makes us all feel better?
Back to more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
How many times do I have to tell you they pick up the trash on Tuesday?
It's OMF.
This is what you're dealing with.
On EEI.
Turns the corner, goes baseline. Smart.
The three.
That's Smart. That's Smart's second field goal of the game. And it all happened by the Celtics. Pushing the ball in transition.
Tatum will take it.
Marcus. Smart. Great read off the miss by Smart.
Tatum has to kick it back out. Gets it back from Smart. Eight in the shot clock. Over to Smart. Takes it. Got it.
Take that. They're going to leave Marcus Smart late in the game.
I think this was a mistake.
They leave Smart wide open, no rotate. Smart drills it.
12 points in the fourth quarter for Marcus. For those who say he disappears down the stretch.
Marcus, what are the benefits of, obviously the win is important, but getting it in kind of this manner?
We needed it, you know, and those are the type of wins that, you know, really helps the team get back on track.
I'm insulted.
By the way, Scal had the perfect answer to Gorman. You heard Gorman talk about the people who say that he can't make shots down the stretch. I think the response by Scalabrine was, it's not about what people are saying. It's what the stats are saying.
Exactly. Say, what do you mean? No, it's like 2 months worth of stats, Tyler. But like, we've been tracking this for like how long?
He was shooting single digits from three for 2 months.
Hey, who is it?
Marcus Smart late in the game.
Listen, Scalabino, nobody wants to hear your opinion. You're like, okay, when it comes to Marcus Smart in the fourth quarter, you do an excellent job, but stay out of this one.
No, he actually said the stats, but right there when he said, if you're going to leave Marcus Smart, will you tell me?
He's
going to
miss it.
If you're the Knicks and you know he's shooting 5% in the fourth quarter from three-point territory, you're going to leave him alone. That's the smart thing to do. That's not a dumb thing to do.
Yeah,
that's
smart. Think that these teams would like, oh, no, oh, he proved us wrong.
Oh, you better cover him now. Man.
Wide open, no rotate. Smart drills it.
Okay, listen, I'm happy for him. Like, this whole thing has been going on forever. So much that, who is this, Boston Sports Inf or whatever, took our stats. And thank you, because we didn't have to do the work anymore. Mm-hmm. We would just use your information.
That's key to life.
But this doesn't prove anything.
You can't
zero.
Marcus Smart can't be the spark, can't be the sharpshooter. He's a heat checker for sure, but he can't be your offense in the fourth quarter. And gee, listen to Gorman and Scal, like, got it. Wow, you don't leave him alone.
Sounds like a Patriots broadcast.
Yeah, you absolutely leave him alone.
Guys, you beat the Knicks by 2.
There you go.
And the Knicks had a chance to win the game and missed a 3 at the end. What are we celebrating? Mike, I mean, this is like me throwing a party and going down to Gillette and throwing an impromptu tailgate after the Pats beat the Jets once they were eliminated from the playoffs.
Did you have that party?
I did. It was by myself.
Don't shame him.
It was just me and the kids.
So here's the one that got to me the other day. And Danny Ainge's answer was even more interesting. So Kendrick Perkins, the game is just about over. He's doing the post game that night, and he tweets out, Jason Tatum, you got paid the big bucks. You have the body language and energy level of an underpaid player, and it's hurting the team. Time to step up and live up to your role. Straight up, carry on. And so then I listened to Danny Ainge doing his morning interview the other day, and he responded to it. He said, I think Perk is paid to have opinions, and he's out there, and he's giving a lot of opinions, and I love Perk. I hope those guys aren't being impacted by things that people are saying that are media heads that are paid to give an opinion. Hopefully they're just talking it through and they don't pay much attention to all the noise out there, which one of them said, that's a good thing. I was taken back by that answer because I think what Danny Ainge was doing right there is he is concerned that somebody like Jason Tatum is hearing it. It's coming from Perk. It's not coming from a sports talk show host. It's coming from a guy who is a host on the team's post-game show.
It is actually time to panic.
So I guess the point is, that Perk's in trouble. Is Perk going to get a slap on the wrist for being, critical?
I don't know how... how Wick and how the people will react. I know they were very critical a few years ago when Cedric Maxwell was being critical of some stuff that was going on with the team, and it wasn't even that critical. Perk really laid it out to the best player on the team. I mean, he basically said, you got paid all the money, and I'm watching your body language and your energy level, and what the hell, you're hurting the team. That is a strong statement for a guy that's doing it on the team broadcast.
Okay, so Glenn, why does Perk have the stones? Is it just distance, or is it his personality? Why is it that Perk has the stones to say what a lot of us are thinking, and probably what Jason Tatum needs to hear, versus his own coach, who's as likely to bring him in and give him a glass of whole milk and peanut brittle and say, hey, we really just, let's work some of these. I know you and Jalen had a nice conversation before the game, but we really could use a little more. Can I get you something? Do you like a cookie?
Yes.
I mean, like,
yes.
Perk, this is exactly what they need. Somebody at the station a while back said that maybe it was even Perk in an interview on the Midday Show a while back, said, like, the Udonis Haslam role that he plays in Miami, where he's basically just kept around so he can bark at the younger guys and keep them in line and be the veteran big mouth, is an asset on an NBA full of three-point shooters, heat checks, and younger guys who haven't been around very long.
Yeah, the only thing...
The C's could use that.
The only thing I would say about Perk in this case is Perk is an emotional sponge. So when the team is doing great, he's going to come out and tell you Jaylen Brown is the best guard in the entire freaking NBA, which is, talk about hyperbole, it's ridiculous, right? And then the very next night, he'll come out and he'll be ripping the crap out of Tatum because the team underperforms and plays poorly. And he's like a sponge. So whatever they're doing at the time, he goes ballistic to one extreme or the other. I like the fact that he's critical of the team. But I think you have to recognize that if the team goes out and blows out Minnesota by 30 tonight, he probably will be the first one raving about, I think the Celtics are back. I think they're going to be scary when you get into the playoffs. Nobody wants to play the Celtics. I think that's what he does.
Yeah, it ultimately, like when you mention the Perk comments and how maybe somebody's in trouble, like first thing I thought was, okay, would Jason Tatum like complain? Is he so sensitive when he complained?
My fear was the way Danny Ainge answered the question. I hope those guys aren't being impacted. I was shocked to hear that. I thought Danny would say, oh, Jason Tatum, you know, he's not going to get worked up about that. I think Danny's concerned. I think Danny that looks at would, it and says Tatum is probably really sensitive. And
okay.
when he hears that Kendrick Perkins on our TV broadcast actually ripped the crap and say I'm hurting the team, he's going to be sensitive and affected by it.
And then when Perk gets on the team plane, maybe Jason Tatum will stand up and tell everybody what a has-been he was. Maybe we can have a Price.
Thank God he doesn't have to go on the David Price team plane.
I think there's a belief, you know, just like that whole Price-Eck thing was just so embarrassing. So what? So the guy calls you out on the broadcast. I think there's a belief amongst Celtics fans that Jason Tatum is very humble. He's quiet. He's mild-mannered. We see his, you know, beautiful son on the sidelines all the time and in the zooming during the conference finals in the bubble. Like, everyone loves this very quiet, demure persona of Jason Tatum. But I think behind the scenes, there might be, maybe Tyler can back me up on this one, there might be a little sneaky complainer kind of vibe going on there.
The only emotion that I ever sense from Jason Tatum is when he's bitching to a ref about not getting a call. He'll get an and-one dunk, and the first thing he'll do is look back at a ref and complain about not getting it, rather than the emotion of, hey, I made a great play, or a great shot, Grant Williams, or Marcus Smart, or Jason Tatum. He's only showing emotion when he's bitching about calls.
Letting the team gravitate to him as opposed, you know, and like rally around the play, the big shot he just made, the fact that he posterized someone, as opposed to the LeBronification of his game, looking to the referee like, where's my extra point on that? Where's my love? Where's the respect? Like, see, they don't suffer from the Red Sox, Glenn, of 25 players, 25 Cavs, but there's no unity on this team.
Well, I don't know about that. They seem to get along quite well. Here's the biggest problem, I think, and I've been saying
on court unity
all season long. They don't have a leader who is active, who's one of the key scorers on this team. They have Marcus Smart as their leader. He's the alpha dog. And I'm sorry, I love the way he plays the game, except when he shoots and takes threes in the fourth quarters, the big fella says. I think he's right about that. But to me, your best player has got to be the star of that team. I watch somebody like Luka Doncic, and they take over games, and they're the leader, and he makes everybody better on his team. Does anybody see Tatum making anybody else better? He's a terrific player, and he's a great scorer.
You know,
but is he making anybody better?
You know, Casey, hold on. Because when you go to the whole, you know, when you hear a comment from Danny Ainge, commenting on a hope they're not listening to this stuff, I think it paints a bigger picture of just young players and how soft they are.
Yes.
And we had Gary Tanguy on the other day.
Good get.
Yeah, and then he was just talking about just
he was free that day.
Well, just his overall just lack of intrigue in a play, you know, avoiding contact, you know, staying away from trouble, staying away from, you know, big guys who may cause them problems. And I'm seeing Draymond Green, like, on every single episode of The Jump today, how he was talking about how younger players are soft.
They are.
And so, and I don't
some
see.
Some of them are.
Well, yes, some of them are.
Luka Doncic is not soft.
He isn't. So when
Zion Williamson is not soft.
Is Jason Tatum soft?
I think he is.
Okay, is Jaylen Brown soft?
Yes. I don't think either one of them are those strong leaders that makes everybody better on your team. And here's the problem. They brought in, I've said this all along, they brought Kemba Walker in because they thought he was going to be the adult in the room. They thought he was going to be the strong one. He's soft.
I don't think he's soft. I just don't think he's the rough around the edges. Like, there's Kyrie out on Kyrie Island. We'll just leave him where he is. And then there are guys that will just bark and bring you together. There's Jimmy Butlers. There's alpha dogs. And then you've got the Celtics who just, I don't know. They're very sensitive. I think they want to be better. They want to play better. They want to win more. But there isn't that someone who's been there and done that. I've said it time and again. My kingdom, anything I could offer for a P.J. Brown or a Kevin Garnett who could come in and rattle the cage for them.
He's too old. Right now, he wouldn't be able to run up and down the
floor. No. That type, excuse me. Somebody like that.
Okay, but there's a huge difference between...
I don't mean like Fourier.
There's a big difference between Kevin Garnett, because he was the alpha dog. on that 08 championship team, 09 to 2010.
Right.
Right? He was the alpha dog. He came in here, but he was also your best player. Okay, P.J. Brown is not that type of guy. He's a bench player. Marcus Smart is a backup player, a role player, who right now has to be the alpha dog. That's not working. You need one of your stars to be, and don't tell me they're too young, because I'm looking at Doncic, and how old is he? And look at what he is doing right now with less talent than Boston has.
But he's so good. I mean, he's a unicorn. Luka Doncic is, you know, he and Booker and Dame Lillard, these kids,
well,
these guys.
Everybody tells me Tatum is really good, right?
Yeah, I know. We keep
was
hearing
he not
like,
an all-pro last year?
He was
on the NBA all-team.
Doncic,
yeah, but are we going to assume that just, you know, athleticism and, you know, ability to shoot three-pointers and drive to the hoop, you know, if you have those attributes, you also have like a great personal, you know, angry mentality
that
you have some dog in you.
Christian, a lot of people could throw a ball further, maybe even more accurate and with greater velocity, a higher spin rate than Tom Brady in 2001, in 2012, and in 2020. They don't have what he has. They don't have it between the ears. They don't have the killer instinct. They don't have that alpha dog mentality.
Yeah, but I feel like this year is really screwing a lot of people up. I feel like this year just being the way it is and maybe they're kind of caught in between the Browns and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, just based on both making the All-Star, both, you know, starting or the team starting off well. They don't really have a lot of talent, no matter what you say. There's really just two guys that really contribute, at least that you rely on. Okay, I'm not relying on Marcus Smart or anybody else.
The highest paid player on the team is Kemba Walker.
And I'm not relying on him either. So my point is,
but that's
so last year.
So who's the alpha dog in this team? Who's
again,
the guy?
Again, we know who the alpha dog is.
It's the wrong guy.
Okay, and yeah, I agree with you. But that is who you have. So unless you bring in another, I don't know, credible adult, a veteran with some history of winning.
He's got to be a star player.
Well, listen, you have to get rid of both of your young stars.
A whole blow up? You
okay,
want to get rid of
then
them
that
both?
Is what you're telling me. You have to get the best player on your team needs to be the leader, right?
Yes.
It's not Tatum, it's not Jaylen Brown, because right now they're the two best players on your team. So if you need to bring another player in, then it has to be the best player. Well, then there's not going to be any room. Where are you going to put him? How are you going to pay him? So somebody's got to go. So if you're going to replace, you know, your other young stars that aren't your leaders, well, you better bring another young star in that will be the leader.
Yeah, I keep on hearing Danny Ainge talk about the COVID and everything else. Look at Brooklyn. I mean, Kevin Durant has missed most of the season. Harden was out for a while. Kyrie had to go to somebody's birthday party for a week, and he missed three games or whatever. And they just keep on winning and winning and winning. So once one of the three is out or two of the three are out, they still win. Why? Because that other guy takes over, and that other guy becomes the leader. I think that's what Perk's talking about. That you have two guys right now that are really good players. There's no questioning their talent on the court. Yet, why aren't they not making everybody better? They're not winners right now. What they are is they're basketball players who get good stats. Good stats. And there are a lot of those type of players. They get good stats on bad teams. That's what they are right now. And you can sit and you bitch about the bench and they're not deep enough and all of that, I think, is accurate. But those two guys are not doing what they need to do right now to take over a team. And I agree with Tyler. Sitting and bitching every time you get a call. Excuse me. Go look at the history of the NBA. You know, 50% of the calls are probably shaky calls in the course of a game. And all you do by bitching is pissing off the officials. So next time they're going to sit there and say, I'm not giving you a break. You know, because you called me out. That's immature. That's not really acting as a leader. And maybe you're right, Christian. Maybe what Danny Ainge has to do is blow it up in the offseason.
I'm just trying to think of what type of significant addition that we're all talking about is out there and available and willing to take on that job. Like, okay, so I have to be basically Marcus Smart, but with shooting skills. That's what I have to be. Or maybe not as aggressive and random, right? And maybe not as the flopping on the ground, but like an adult. Like, it's like when we used to take these trips. You know, when I was a rookie, you'd go get on the plane and you just sit there and you watch the older players. You watch them, how they dressed, how they conducted themselves, how they studied, how they practiced. And you said, oh, okay, that's what I need to do. Like, who is that guy? Like, Jason Tatum's that guy.
And I don't know, but you can't wait around with these two kids for the next 5 or 6 years. And when we were getting to the Harden, when Harden was available earlier in the season with Houston, I remember doing a couple of different shows where we were talking about it. And I said, no, you can't bring in Harden. And I was wrong. That was a huge mistake. That's exactly what they needed.
Yeah. And he's better.
Exactly what they
need. He's better than both of them combined.
Absolutely.
And they sit there and go, "Damn, I thought I was really good
and clever."
And he makes everybody else better around him.
And clever enough to wear a fat suit so he can get traded out of Houston.
And he looks overweight all the time, which is, you're right, Fitzy. It's hard to believe that a professional athlete that is that good, that is an MVP in the MVP conversation, looks like he's totally out of shape. Like I am. This hour of OMF being brought to you by Brookline Bank. Fitzy's got a theory here, apparently, on the perfect storm on the Patriots quarterback situation. He's got my attention. He's getting yours as well next.